Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good afternoon and welcome to Prepare Radio. We're going to continue our little series on the temperaments and our flesh. And your flesh is the crutch that your soul has been using to hide and protect and compensate for wounds. And again, we're always emphasizing that we want to get healed of those wounds. But something that's very important is that we distinguish our temperament from our flesh, because the temperament that God gave you is what he wanted you to have. So it's not broken. It doesn't need to be fixed. But we don't want to get it confused with what God is doing in our lives, bringing us healing in our soul. So your flesh is something that is compensating for those wounds. As you are healed of those wounds, you need your flesh less and less. Now, it's important to remember that this is a process, and you are not in any way obligated to even participate in the process in order to be a spirit being. But what we recognize is that as a spirit being, we want the same things that God wants for us. And since we know that our flesh is God's enemy, that our flesh is also our enemy. So just as much as God wants to get rid of your flesh, even though it has been serving your purpose, you also want to get rid of your flesh. Again, your flesh is not your temperament. So this is not about you turning into somebody different or not being unique or an individual. In fact, exactly the opposite. Because the more your flesh is peeled away, the more you are learning to live as a unique being without your crutches, the more you are the individual God created you to be for your time here on this earth. So rather than being concerned about how we are functioning in relationship to this world, the more we can join God in what he is doing in our lives, the more we will see ourselves as the spirit beings that just happens to have a soul which has a unique temperament. This changes how we see ourselves and how we see others, but can be very liberating, can be very freeing from trying to please others, being critical of how others are functioning in their lives, but also very helpful that we can help them distinguish between their flesh and the crutches that they're using. Now, flesh, the goal of flesh is to control God, to control others, and, of course, to control ourselves. As a spirit being, you already have the authority and all your needs met. You're done in your spirit. As you begin to really embrace that current state, you are less and less likely to need to control in order to get your needs met, because you are dwelling in that place where all your needs are met. Instead of getting there, you recognize you are there. And over time, in God's purposes and in the projects he assigns you, you become free from those areas that have been keeping you bound and keeping you stuck in doing the way you've been doing it for yourself. We have an idea about what we think God wants us to be and what he wants us to do. And most of the time, we're wrong. It always comes back to being able to hear God's voice for ourselves, for now, right now, and being able to test what we hear, and then how to act on it. As that happens, as we embrace that, we can more and more relinquish our grasp on our crutches, and we are more willing to be healed of our wounds and release and our crutches and just let them fall by the wayside. Learning to run and learning to walk and learning to do things as a whole person, that's all change. And change is hard, but it's necessary. You're going to change one way or another. Let's go ahead and settle it that we are going to change to according to God's plan and purpose. There are things that we're going to have to give up, our beliefs, our control over our future, our past, what we consider our own burdens, our own wounds, and allow God to set our priorities. So we are going to look at the phlegmatic temperament. Now, the phlegmatic is really interesting because there's the three main emphases in our soul, the mind, will, and emotions. And in the other temperaments, one of those has a clear preeminence. Either the mind, the will, or the emotions have a preeminence in that temperament. The phlegmatic, it's equal, fairly equal across the board. And again, this is just a way for you to think of it in terms of how we can look at ourselves and look at generally those we hang out with, those we get along with best, those who we're married to, those who we have the hardest time with. And we can see, okay, it's because they have a strong will. They really just want to be about doing what they want to do. They don't need other people, etc. That's why we don't get along, because we don't see the world. We don't see ourselves the same way. None of us do. And it's all a matter of proportion. But phlegmatics are generally even across the board as far as their mind, their will, and emotions. That this makes them very self-sufficient. They don't have a need to excel in an area, whether it's emotional or action or understanding. They balance out within themselves, so they really don't need anybody else to balance out for them. So their mind, their will, and emotions are all already balanced. Someone who is high in one, the mind, will, and emotions, needs someone to balance them out. So think of the phlegmatic in that respect, that the mind, the will, and emotions are already balanced within them, so they don't really need any other person or activity to balance them out. Those up, as with all things, there's good and bad about that. But that makes them very stable and very peaceful, and they really don't have real highs and real lows. But they look at the world in terms of the world interfering with that. And that's their major control, is that anything anybody's trying to do is perceived as trying to get them to do something they don't want to do. So they have often have a very negative view of others in their life. In other words, if you make any demands on them, they take that very personal. And so they resist that because it is upending their balance, their stability. So they can be very pessimistic. They also don't like getting involved because, for the same reason, it disturbs, it upsets their balance. And they are also very introverted, again, because their balance fulfills their own needs. They really don't need anybody else's opinion. They really don't need anybody's emotional input. They don't really need anybody to make them or encourage them to do something. They're fine just the way they are. Thank you very much. So their greatest strengths are that they're very easygoing. They get along with everyone. They don't make any demands on anybody. They're very patient. They're consistent and stable and unflappable. Now, their greatest weaknesses is that they don't get enthusiastic. They don't get, they're hard to motivate. They don't make decisions well. They don't have strong likes or dislikes or strong anything. They don't have strong wants or don't wants. They can be stubborn. They can be hard to motivate. They can be very unhelpful, because they'd rather just stand back and watch everybody else do it, again, because they are fully self-contained. And they can be very unsympathetic and unempathetic. And so they find it very hard to encourage or get involved in a project or what any activity. Again, they're fine right the way they are. They really don't see the need for putting out any effort. So their crutches, their needy crutch to get their needs met. Out of all the temperaments, the phlegmatic already has most of their needs met. These kinds of temperament people have a real hard time convincing that they have unmet needs. Because they have such a low level of involvement, their wounds are very often hidden from them. It's not that they don't have them. It's just they really don't care that much that they're wounded, that they're maybe in pain, that they aren't able to do anything because they really don't want to do anything. So they can be it's a great example of God having to reveal wounds, because they won't perceive them. They won't go looking for them on their own. So they have very strong go-along crutches. They're easy to surface convince. You can convince them to be on one side of an argument, then somebody else will be happy to come along and convince them to be on the other side, and they don't have any problem with that because they're much more concerned about going along. And the phlegmatic is basically a professional follower. Go-along flesh, that go-along crutch, manifests itself by not expressing an opinion, even if they have one, in deference to others' opinions and decisions. They don't like starting a conversation, starting a topic. They don't like disagreements, arguments. They will agree with whoever has the most power in the situation, even in their own estimation, even if they don't agree. So it is often hard to know where they really stand, what their real opinion is, or what they really think or feel about a situation, because They don't want to put any more effort into it. It doesn't matter to them. Things just don't matter to them. And this is because of this, they are easily swayed according to the power shift, and they can't be relied on to maintain a position. These people aren't very good leaders or reliable in long-term commitments because they are already happy within themselves. They're satisfied and content and really don't need to achieve anything or please anybody. So, again, it goes back to they're very hard to motivate. Now, they protect themselves by creating avoidance crutches. The phlegmatic needs to have control over their circumstances and others in order to prevent unpleasantness or crisis. So they seek out the path of least resistance. So a lot of the choices that they make is not because it's something that they do or don't want to do, but it's to avoid difficulty, avoid making a decision, avoid hurting someone's feelings, even with the truth. It's more important that their own boat not be rocked rather than seeking out or expressing truth, even how they truly feel or think or their own opinion. They will avoid people or situations which put them in positions where decisions have to be made by them, especially when those decisions affect others or in which they may find themselves in a conflict. Their best technique is, let's just not go there. And they will even try to keep others from arguing, changing the subject. That's one of their major, when you've got a bunch of people, even a family, arguing, they will, hey, let's sing a song. Let's change the subject. And this, in this way, it's not so much about they don't want the other person, other group, other people in conflict. It's just that conflict, they don't want it spilling over on them. Phlegmatics look for the easiest solution to a problem. So they are often short-sighted, which manifests itself in procrastination in dealing with problems that actually need decisions to be made. Now, this is a situation where, again, the phlegmatic can have a strong mind, a strong will, strong emotions. But because they balance themselves out, they don't really have a need for something beyond themselves. And so they don't want to go beyond themselves. And so those making a choice to them is something that they want to avoid, even if it's for good. It's like when you go out to a restaurant and if you have two phlegmatics, well, where do you want to go? Oh, I don't know. Where do you want to go? Oh, I don't care. Where do you want to go? Oh, I don't know. You know, where do you want to go? And if there isn't somebody there to step in and say, would you guys, we're just going to go get Chinese. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. But that's also a way of them controlling by not making a decision. That way nobody ever counts on them to make a decision. And again, this is just as in the other temperaments where we look at an isolated amount of mind or will or emotion. And the phlegmatic, odds are we couldn't find somebody who's a perfect phlegmatic. In other words, perfectly balanced. Odds are any phlegmatic is going to have more of the mind or the will or the emotions. So we, our goal is not to isolate and pigeonhole, put in a box anybody. It's to look at our crutches to see if maybe that will lead us to a wound. We allow God to fashion the circumstances of each day so he can reveal to us areas that he wants to deal with. So we don't need to go looking for trouble, but we recognize that, okay, for a phlegmatic, for instance, maybe one of their tactics is never getting involved in anything, never making new friends. And phlegmatics may want to go, okay, now how am I spending my time? Am I avoiding that person because that every time I talk to that person, she asks me to lunch, and I just don't want another person in my life? So that's exactly what we want to look at. Is this person in my life somebody God has placed there to stretch me so I am not relying on my temperament rather than learning to be as a live as a spirit being? So the phlegmatic also creates a socially acceptable crutch as peacemaker. Because phlegmatics are unflappable, they're stable, they don't need other people to agree with them. They desire peace in themselves and around them. They are great to have around in stressful situations because they aren't going to add to it. Because they have no, their investment is in the peace, not the discussion, not the stress. But if the phlegmatic doesn't understand their flesh, their peacemaker flesh will wage peace at any price. And they can actually interfere with the process because they will stifle conflict even when conflict is helpful or necessary. In other words, phlegmatics think, you know, don't let their kids argue or fight, raise their voices with one another, even though they need to get it out or they need to learn to express themselves. For our phlegmatic, the only thing that's important is peace, is that quiet, is to not raise a ruckus. Because the end, peace, is more important to them than the facts of the situation or what the long-term effects may be. So, socially, peacemaker flesh can be both helpful and detrimental. Again, peacemaker flesh is very much related to how it affects the phlegmatic. But it can be very helpful in social situations. Then, just as all the other temperaments, phlegmatics have developed crutches that are socially unacceptable. And this is basically the uninvolved crutch, the hermit, the bad neighbor, just leave me alone, you know, living up in the hill, nobody will ever, you know anybody's there. Most human relationships involve both conflict and work at one time or another. Phlegmatics often develop uninvolved flesh as a way to prevent themselves from getting emotionally or even figuratively involved in a situation in which conflict may arise. They will even develop their belief systems around the philosophy that God is in control, so I don't need to get involved, as a way to prevent risk. So even though they may be in risky situations or relationships, by keeping emotionally and practically unattached, they can maintain their preferred level of control. One way this is manifested is in the philosophy, as long as it doesn't affect me, I don't need to or want to know about it. Again, going back to making this hard, making it hard for, to motivate them or to get them involved, even when it would be for their own benefit. They will refuse to commit, even though they will tell you to your face, sure, I'll meet you over there, I'll be there, yeah, I'll come to the community, you know, meeting where we need to decide what we're going to do about this issue. But they just won't show up. They don't have a problem with that. They don't think that they're deceiving you, or they're just, this is the way they are. They don't see any problem with anybody depending on them. They don't want anybody depending on them. They're hard to motivate in personal relationships because their main goal is to not have any strings attached. And yet on the other hand, phlegmatics, because they are so stable within themselves, they can have a wide range of involvements and a large range of friendships and get along with a large range of people and a large range of situations. But they will very often not have deep relationships and deep commitments and deep interests even, but would prefer to have a wide range rather than any depth, because that depth makes demands on who they are and disturbs their balance of the mind, will, and the emotions. So we've been looking at a few of the ways flesh, or those crutches, and the coping mechanisms are formed around our individual temperaments. But there are at least two manifestations of the flesh that are common to everyone to some degree. These are codependent flesh and performance-based flesh. Because they are so common, they are easily excused as part of normal behavior. We are not looking for what's normal. We are not looking for what's common. We are looking for what is healthy for us as spirit beings that have a soul that live in a body. We are looking for wholeness. Codependent flesh is, we've all heard of codependency in one respect or another, but for our purpose, codependency is defined as meeting needs, either our own, other people's, or God's, in order to meet our God-given needs on our own terms. In most contexts, codependency is most obvious on an emotional level. We want to meet others' needs in order to make ourselves feel better in some way. But this is also applicable to the will, waiting to make a decision until someone else has, and mind, I'll believe what others believe. The bottom line is, whenever we depend on something other than God to meet our needs, we are walking in the flesh. We are using crutches. Codependency is focusing on another's needs in order to meet our needs for love, acceptance, and recognition. This is something that we'll probably tackle some other time, but for now, just again, this is something that, regardless of your temperament, there are probably ways that you have a codependent crutch. And you probably also have performance-based crutches. All of us judge ourselves and others on how well or poorly we are doing, how we are behaving, how productive we are. Our definition of doing may vary depending on our temperament, but it will always come down to how well we are achieving some kind of goal, whether it's a goal that we ourselves have set up or somebody else has set up. For instance, are we getting closer to God, loving our neighbors, moving in the gifts of the Spirit, or fulfilling our call? We judge ourselves based on how we're doing on certain standards. Are we overcoming our flesh, growing in dependence on God, getting healed fast enough? So we're going to pick it up there next week. Until then, thank you for tuning in. This is Diana Prepare Radio. Have a great weekend.